Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you in your mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, anoint my lips to speak the truth you've laid on my heart, Lord. Open the ears to hear, to receive, that this message would bring fruit for your kingdom, Lord. That it would bring glory to your name and none other. That it would chasten that which needs to be chastened, Lord. That it edifies and builds up that which felt like it was crumbling, Lord. But you do a new work. You have a strong foundation you're pouring, Lord. For you have a bride you have called by name. Work through me. Speak through me. Block out any distraction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. The title of this message is, I'm losing control. Yes! I'm losing control. Yes. Does it feel like the world itself, or maybe on a smaller level, on an individual level, that your world is shaking? Maybe even crumbling? It's crumbling around you. It was crumbling around you. In perilous and troubled times like these, we live under this constant looming of threats to our health, threats to our families, threats to our livelihoods. And it robs us of our peace. And what happens is fear and anxiety become dominant forces in our life. And it propels us to this downward emotional spiral of feelings of hopelessness, feelings of despair. And the future can seem bleak. And so then we start to take control and we block out everything else and we get this tunnel vision towards ourselves and towards our circumstances. And I think most of us have been there. And perhaps you're there right now. It's part of living in this broken, sinful world. Illness, division, pain, separation, heartbreak, sin, and all its aftermath that comes with it. There's so much going around us that it can be overwhelming within us. In Psalm 46, verse 2, it says, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling, it sounds to me like the psalmist knows what a world is like when it's crashing down on them too. And there is hope. There is hope. Though there is chaos, though there's calamity and fear-mongering, encroaching and encamping all around us, we have this very present help in the midst of our trouble. It is Yahweh. It is God Almighty. It is three in one. Who's thoroughly equipped us. Amen. Do you remember 3 years ago? The fear of what was happening. The media was throwing policies and quarantines, and people were anxiously waiting for the choices their leaders were going to make. Choices that were out of their hands, supposedly. There was the fear of tragedy. The worst case scenarios coming to pass. And as finite creatures, with a beginning and an end, living in a world affected by sin, we fear anything that we don't control. And everything during that time seemed out of control. And since then, there has been this new normal, when in all reality, it's not a normal after all. And if you think it's anything like it was, or if you think it's going to be like that, you are deceived. Deception is rampant, and it goes back to the garden. In the garden, sin corrupted our fear of the Lord, turning it from the awe of God into terror before Him. Adam and Eve had to hide themselves. It turned the worship of God into idolatry of created things and turned reverence into rebellion against Him. And now our human predicament was dire. We've rebelled against the one who's in control. And we crown ourselves as little sovereigns. I got this. And then you discover you are terribly inadequate for the task. We fear what we can't control. We've tried to control it, but we can't because we're not God. Listen, the Israelites dealt with idolatry. They crafted images of gold and silver into gods. They lost their focus on Yahweh, the one true God. And the world is in similar circumstances today. Romans 1, worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. And we may not craft gods of gold and silver, but we do try to control our money for stability and power. We tremble in fear when the market crashes. We may not fall down and worship statues, but we do worship ourselves and other people. We reason that we would never cry out to an immovable object to save us from our troubles. But then we look to medicine, we look to doctors, we look to the news media, we look to political leaders. We look to these habits that are right habits. And it's not that God can't use those things. He can. He can use those things. But we go to them and anything else we think will give us some resemblance of assurance, of peace, to set us free from our circumstances. And we go to them first rather than God. Seek me first. Seek me first in the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that's because we try to take control. We are so guilty of that. Me included. And guess what? The illusion of control becomes an idol. It becomes an idol. And guess what? It sets us up to be overwhelmed when trouble comes our way. I'm telling you, there is a time of intense trouble coming on this world like none other. And everything is going to seem like it's out of control. And you're being told this message that you may brace yourself. That's why God uses these trials. He uses storms in our life to give up our control, to trust in Him. In Him. Trusting Him means we walk by faith and not by sight. Our ability or desire to control everything comes from the delusion of a non-biblical worldview. We are trained in this world in another way of seeing. We see that nothing of weakness, nothing of dependence, difficulty, pain, or suffering can ever have any meaning. It can never have any purpose. And in all reality, God is using those things to draw us to Him. Because when we are weak, He is strong. It's so His mighty power can be revealed through you. Amen. To a world that's watching you. Amen. I'm not angry. I'm speaking. It's so His mighty power can be revealed because ultimately it can be worked together for good and for His glory. His glory, not yours. His glory. It's the underdog story. It doesn't make sense. God's ways are so much higher than ours. Look at the story of Joseph. He was betrayed by his family. He was sold into slavery, thrown into a pit, put into prison. Yet out of those circumstances, out of all of that, Joseph would become second ruler in the land. And Joseph, his brothers come. There's a famine on the land. They have no idea what's going to happen. What's going to go on? And Joseph says to him in Genesis 50, verse 19, he says, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as this day to save many people alive. Now, therefore, because of that, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That's the heart of a believer. Knowing all things work together for good in the midst of trials. And he was able to use that and bring comfort to those who chastised him, who threw him into a pit. Forgiveness. Jesus said, "Forgive." Circumstances of what we see with our physical eyes can lead us and drive us into this place of fear, and that is what the enemy of our soul wants. He wants to paralyze you. You cannot look at your circumstances with worldly eyes. You must put on the eyes of faith. And I understand that's easier said than done when you're in the thick of it. Look at Peter after walking with the Lord. And then when the pressing came, he folded. He denied him 3 times. Yet he turned back to the Lord, and the Lord was faithful to restore him. What about the prophet Elijah? Countless examples in 1 Kings of him trusting in the Lord and the Lord working mightily through him. He was called down fire from heaven to consume a sacrifice. Yet, in 1 Kings 19, it says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done." All those wonderful things that Elijah had done. Ahab didn't think they were so hot, but it says also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword, those false prophets. "Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time.'" She threatens to kill him. And here's the key. Verse 3. "And when he saw that," that's what it says. "And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." When he saw that, you see, there was a pivot that happened. His focus suddenly changed. He looked at his circumstances as being bigger than God rather than God being bigger than his circumstances. And God knows how very well weak we are and how frail we are and how prone we are to fears and anxieties in life and how easily we can feel overwhelmed. And he looks on us with compassion and he looks to restore us just like he did with Elijah. Just like he did with Peter. "Why are you here?" he says to Elijah. "Why are you here?" He just wanted to fold. He wanted to die. He wanted to give up. And God says, "No, I have a purpose for you. I have a task. I'm calling you to. You're not done yet. You're not done yet. You're believing the lie. You're not done." And he can even use fellow believers to build us up to get back on task. That's why it's so paramount that we get together as a church family, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Even more so as we see the day of the Lord approaching. That's going to... Wake up. Wake up. The day of the Lord is coming, folks. You got to get your house in order. That's just another task, another sermon, some another time. But listen, we learn from these experiences. Like Katie said, when she was sharing, we learn from these experiences. We don't look back to be dwell on them, but we look back to see, what did I learn from this? And who alone can give us help in such difficult times? Who? Nobody but God. Nobody but God. We are to turn and focus on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And turning to the Lord is not some quick glance. It's not, okay. No. It's a focus on who He is. And it's confident trusting in Him to be with us and to help us. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 34, verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord. Sounds like he's focused, isn't it? I sought the Lord. And guess what? And he heard me. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You better get that one ingrained in your heart and recall it. Speak to it. Speak to the spirit of fear. See, Jezebel was a spirit of fear. She was speaking to Elijah and he accepted it. No. And they looked in verse 5. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. Stephen, in the midst of stoning, the glory of his faith, God was upon him. His face turned radiant as he looked up to God and said, lay not this charge at him, at them. Saul was there, by the way. What an example that laid down. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, verse 6, and saved him out of all his troubles. Are you crying out to the Lord? When you're in the thick of it, are you crying to yourself? There's a difference. Are you crying about your circumstances and crying to yourself? Or are you crying out to the Lord? Lord, I'm hurting. I need you. I need your presence in my life. In verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. He's good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed. So walking by faith means trusting him. It means we seek him for wisdom to steward the resources and the tasks and the responsibilities he has given us. It means we believe his sovereign wisdom, his sovereign plan is right and best. That's it. It's final. Even when it does not make sense. It means that when you feel out of control, when we feel out of control, we choose to rest in his perfect control. Trusting God in the storm doesn't mean you're not going to be untouched. That's a lie. Don't let preachers tickle your ears. God does not promise that we will escape suffering and pain in this fallen world. Trials are very real. They're very real. Suffering is very real. Persecution is very real, and it's coming. And what if our worst fears come to pass? Whatever it is, job loss, sickness, even death. When those trials and suffering come, and they surely will, you have a choice. You can turn from God, or you can turn to God. Really, there's only one answer. It's turn to Him. It's turn to God. Turn to the Lord. Come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary, and I will give you rest. It may not be easy, but God promises to be with us through these things as well. And use them for good. Either the word of God is true or it's not. It's true. It's true. Romans 8:28. We know that all things, not some things, all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. And if you believe that, you can face the future in faith or fear. Choose faith. Walking in faith means keeping our eyes on God and His promises and not on our problems. Remember who He is. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That word still, be still, Rapha, is to sink. It's to relax. It's to sink down, to let drop. To abate, to withdraw. We often think of this as like, I'm going to be quiet before the Lord. And quietness is helpful to listen to the voice of God. But the phrase means stop your frantic activity. Let go of the grip that you so tightly hold to. Exodus 14, 13 through 14, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. There it is again. Stand still. They're at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is coming after him. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The word being still meant to ceasing to fight a battle that they could not win in their own strength. The Israelites didn't have the strength to fight back. It required faith and trust in God. Stop the frantic activity. Why? Because God's in control. Think of Jesus calming the storm. Disciples were fighting the waves frantically, right? They're fighting the waves frantically to save themselves, but really all they had to do was to be still and look at the one who could calm the storm with just a few words. There's countless examples in the Bible. Being still means cease your striving and trust God to be our help in a time of need. Some say let go and let God. Listen, yes. But that can often be misconstrued with no action. Well, I'm waiting on God. No. Not doing anything. That is wrong process. We have to take the initiative to fulfill our responsibilities and to live our lives. Just as God opened the Red Sea, the Israelites had to walk through it. There's still action on our part. The uncertainties of living in a world of sin and woe will continually challenge us. They challenge us. But here's the key. Personal initiative is no substitute for the reliance upon God. Do you understand that? Your own personal initiative is not a substitute. It's not a proxy for relying on God. Psalm 46:10 encourages us to reflect on what God can do in the face of what we are unable to do. You guys are really quiet now. But spiritual peace, real peace, the peace that passes all understanding, can be cultivated in spite of the shaking, mountains and the waters raging and the sea foaming. Those are figures of difficulties that we face in this life. The spiritual calm that God commands does not come from a lack of troubles. It derives from a steady, deep reflection on the way God has intervened throughout history on behalf of his people. And in your life, look at your life. You're still here. Look how he has had his hand upon you. You're still breathing. That's not to take light of what has happened in our past. Some of us have some real, real heavy past. But that's why we forget those things that are behind. And we reach forward to the high prize and the calling of Jesus. You will see in the end, it's worth it. It's knowing who God is. It's knowing who God is. Have you forgotten who I am? Have you forgotten who God is? He spoke the world into creation. He tore down the walls of Jericho. He parted the Red Sea. He used a blind and strengthless Samson to tear down the Philistines' temple. He used little David to conquer and smite the champion Goliath. He turned Simon the fisherman to Peter to spread his truth. And he used a murderer, Saul, and turned him into Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He fed 5,000. With 2 fish and 5 loaves for those of you who are facing lack. How about Jesus walking on the water? How about raising Lazarus and Jairus' daughter to life? Raising you and I to new life. By the power of the cross, it is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Have you forgotten who God is? Have you forgotten that heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool? Have you considered who you are in Christ? That's what you heard last week. He has a calling for you, heir, child of God. Have you forgotten that he chooses the weak and he chooses those who are nothing? That God chooses the poor and he chooses the marginalized? 1 Corinthians 1:27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty and the base things of the world and the things which are despised. God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. His ways are not our ways. Have you forgotten who God is? Do you think he needs your strength? He doesn't. No, he needs your trust. He needs your trust. He needs you surrender to him, giving him control. He needs nothing but an openness to let him be God. Nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing. So put away your hurts. Put away your strength. Put away your resume of all that you've done. Put away your fears. Put away your past. Put away your failures. Even if the world is crumbling around you, the call is clear. Don't waver in your faith in God. Stand still, not because of self-made confidence, but because you're the most composed person either in the face of disaster. And not because you've seen it all, because you haven't. Be still because of what you know about God and who he is. Put on the garment of praise and start praying and let God speak to you and lead you again. Do not fear. Do not fear. As fear and anxiety creep in, along with that comes doubt. And we've all been there, and so have the heroes of faith. I told you about Elijah already. And whatever you fear becomes your master. In that circumstance, fear became Elijah's master. But if the Lord is your master, 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. You need to write these down, folks. You need to write these down. You need to get these into your heart. You might be walking in the wilderness right now, folks. You might be at the edge of the cliff, but our God is a waymaker. He is a waymaker. His grace is the only strength you need. His grace is sufficient for you. It's His empowering presence for you to do and be what you cannot do and be on your own. Again, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Say it with me. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Again, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That means you can reject fear and trust God, who loves you, who rules the world, and for whom nothing is impossible. And in Him and through His grace, you are more than a conqueror. Therefore, you can boldly approach the throne room at the time of need. That throne room of grace. Cry out to Him and He hears you. So surrender your control. Increase your belief. Because as times change and our world changes, there is that anxiety that creeps in because we don't like change. It's kind of a touching point for someone in here. I can feel it. Because we got plans. We got personal goals. We have an agenda that we're so focused on. And God is saying, you better hold loose to that. And you better focus on me. Leave that one there. Because change is coming, especially as we see how evil the world is, becoming and shaking of all things on a personal level, on a geopolitical level. There are big things happening in this world that you and I have no say, no control in. But you can control in whom you believe. Remember, the Israelites were led down an alternative path, the long way God took them. He took them down this other path. And He took them there because it was the only path where He was going to get the glory out of it. You understand? So humble yourselves. That's what 1 Peter says, 5:6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that hand of favor. Humble yourselves. That He may exalt you in due time, in His time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You see, even when the world is decaying and crumbling around you, God is still working and He is still moving. So we need to have now faith, not yesterday's faith, now faith. Today's faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, okay, that's great, Pastor. That's great. Now faith, okay. How can I build my faith? How can I get more trust here? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. That's your solution. That's your answer. If you're waning, you gotta get in the word. Let this transform you. If you're looking to build up your faith and your belief, get into the word. Study it. It takes discipline. It takes obedience. It takes sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. It's exchanging your thoughts for his thoughts, and they're clear as day. You renew your mind, and you can renew that living hope of Jesus Christ, the anchor for your soul. Because the storm comes, and if you're not anchored, you drift. Right. So it keeps our trust, trusting in the Lord with all our heart. I'm preaching to myself too here, folks. I got my own baggage. He has a path for each and every one of you. And it's beyond what you can comprehend. And as the storm and the series of uncontrollable events swirl around you, you have to arm yourself with the spirit of praise. We're saying here today, we are in a spirit of praise. We are in a spirit of worship. And we look as we are singing, almost home, right? We're anticipating the Lord's return. We're anticipating standing before him someday. Isaiah 61:3 says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That heaviness is in Hebrew means this like dim. It's cloud colorless, like dark and faint. When it looks dim, when it looks dull, when it looks dark, start singing with praises. And when you do that, it says that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The planting of the Lord. Think about that. He plants with a firm foundation, a deep root system that when it gets hot outside, guess what? The leaves don't wither. That's pretty awesome. We can focus on him. Listen, if you're struggling, you need to go before him and pray. Listen, God of all creation, there is no one like you. Thank you for being my present help in my time of need, even when I don't notice it. And petition him, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. Give me a heart to receive. Increase my faith that I may believe that you are in my, you're in presence with me. You're with me. You're for me. And give me a glimpse of your right hand of favor that I may know. I trust in you and you alone. And as we go through difficult days ahead, remind ourselves again and again, God is sovereign. He is in control. He loves us. He is faithful. And you can ponder on what Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. As is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's how the world looks like it. That's what the world thinks. Not you, believer. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He loved us first. He loves us with an unfailing love. So here's the persuasion you need. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Listen, when you breathe your last breath, You're an eternal being. You know that, right? You're going one place or another, but you, child of God, are in the presence of the Lord. All those in the great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us are in the presence of the Maker. They've already heard the well done, thy true and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities in the high places, the powers in the high places, nor things present today, or the things that are going to come tomorrow. None of them, right? Yeah. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Because he's the creator, right? Yeah. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our soon returning King. He's in control. Surrender it to him. I trust in you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I know you reveal to the hearts. There are certain things that you reveal to individuals today that they would act on that to remove some of those things that you spoke with clarity to some hearts today. That we may boldly move forward with confidence that you have us. We are in your hands. You have the path, and that we can trust in you. That we would, if we veer off, Lord, chasten us to get back on path. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. You're dismissed.